From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1991, Troy Davis was convicted of the murder of Savannah police officer Mark McPhail and sentenced to death. The case erupted into a firestorm, a lack of physical evidence and the optics. Davis was black. McPhail, a white police officer, led to questions about Davis's guilt. Supporters argued for a new trial. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter petitioned to stop Davis's execution. In the end, he was put to death by lethal injection in 2011, and still questions remained. Atlanta-based playwright Lee Knoll made an inquiry of many perspectives on the case through her play Beyond Reasonable Doubt, the Troy Davis Project.
They're going to execute him, Allison.
No, they're not.
No matter what you do, they are going to execute him. And it will be the right thing to do because he's guilty. He is guilty and he deserves what's coming to him.
That play premieres this Sunday on GPB as an audio drama and online as a podcast. Lee Knoll joins us now to talk about its inspiration and evolution. Lee, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
The Davis case was so emotionally fraught, so controversial. What about the case made you imagine it as a play?
I thought it was interesting that everyone seemed to have an opinion on it and everyone seemed to think that they were right no matter what they believed. And I wanted to know why it was that so many people could be in opposition to each other. What were the things that were driving them to believe what they believed and to fight for what they fought for?
So how did you go about it? What kind of resources did you use to get a feeling for the story?
Well, I did a lot of research for many years. I read 1,500 pages of trial transcripts, the recantations, Judge Moore's ruling. I interviewed anyone who would talk to me. I tried to talk to other people who would not talk to me. I read everything on the internet from blogs to every article, video I could get my hands on, and then looked at everything that was laid out on the floor and said, okay, what tells this story in the most cohesive way possible and in the fairest possible way, meaning I'm going to give equal validity to both sides of this argument.
So how much of this is based on the facts or actual transcripts, and how much of it is artistic creation, your sense of character?
Well, the characters walk into the play having one opinion about the case, and through the course of an act, they read things or they come into contact with things or other people who have different concepts about the case. And they are persuaded one way or another, depending upon what they read or what they saw. So about 50% of the dialogue in the play itself consists of things that I took directly out of the trial transcripts and out of the recantation. So all of the stuff that the characters read are straight up fact out of records or out of things that people told me.
And how much did you know, Lee, about the death penalty in Georgia before starting to write this?
I knew that the death penalty ended nationally, and I knew that it started up again in Georgia, in Atlanta. And the fact that the Troy Davis case was fought in Atlanta, part of it, was really interesting in that perspective. I have no idea why it is that Atlanta and Georgia are the kind of the revolving door of the death penalty, but I found that really interesting.
When Troy Davis was executed, hundreds of people gathered outside of the state prison in Jackson. Reporters and TV crews swarmed the area, and many, many voices spoke up for and against his execution. So what was your goal there, to reflect that kind of opposition and that complexity, and how do you do that?
I was interested in faithfully representing why people would believe what they believed. Was it something that they had experienced in their lives? Was it something that they walked in the door with? Was it something else that tied them into it? I was also waiting. You know, we didn't know if he was going to be executed or not. That was up in the balance for a while. And after he was executed, I read everything that I could get my hands on about people's response after the execution. So that was really interesting, too, to see how people shifted or didn't shift. Most people didn't shift at all.
Yeah, what shifts an opinion? That's an interesting thing, I think, for a playwright. Obviously, that's where the drama is, isn't it?
Right.
How do you reflect that?
I think you make it real. You make it human. You know, we're interested in telling why people believe what they believe. You know, people on the internet right now, the internet has trained us to click on something and then react, click and react, or react and then click and then react again. I think what this play is trying to do is to get us to discern. Can you separate yourself from your reaction, take a step back, and ask, why is it that you believe this person? When is it that your mind started to shift? What is it that you value or you balance in terms of making your own decisions? Because each one of us walks around with our own decisions to make, and those decisions in a larger public sphere are incredibly important.
Did you have a point of view when you started writing the play?
I had a point of view of wanting to know what drove people. I was in the middle of a bunch of arguments. I would find myself weirdly in the middle of a bunch of arguments that people would be having about this case on all sides of it. And the way that people changed in front of me when they would take one side or another about this case was a little frightening, how intractable they became. So my perspective was, what is driving this? What's going on underneath everyone in here?
Did you find yourself going through shifts in your thinking as you're reading transcripts, obviously hearing from human beings giving their sense of the world, their testimony?
Well, when I read the trial transcripts, which took a long time to get, they were very difficult for me to get in an electronic format. That was hard. But when I started reading them, I tried to take a clean slate of my head of everything that I had heard or read or anything and just say, okay, let's just take this from a human perspective. What are these people saying? And reading it from a story perspective, what are these people saying? And I did find myself going, oh, okay, this is what happened on that night. Here's the sequence of events. Oh, okay, this makes sense. And then the next person would get up and completely blow that out of the water. And so I found myself in this weird topsy-turvy world of not knowing who to believe in. And I think that's part of the power of this, is who do you believe? We had an attorney who came to see the play who was not in any way involved in the Torrey Davis case. And he said that he had the exact same experience that he had in a courtroom every day. He walked in and he watched the first act of the play, and he walked out at intermission and was like, there is no way anything you can say to me is going to change my mind in act two. No way. And then he walked into act two, and at the end of the play, he'd flipped his opinion again. So that was very gratifying for me as a playwright, because I wanted to represent what happens in a courtroom and how people in the system and who have to work in the system experience that, as well as the people who watch it from the outside.
There's so many viewpoints to consider, including that of Davis himself, who maintained his innocence until the very end. Here he is speaking to Amnesty International in 2007.
This killer is still out there. My family's in mourning. The victim's family's in mourning. And the truth is still locked in because I didn't get justice.
Is Davis as a character in the play? Is he a character in the play?
No, Troy Davis is not a character in the play. Mark McPhail is not a character in the play. All the characters in the play are fictitious representations of people that I made up who have particular perspectives that I saw in the Troy Davis case. The only real people who show up in the play itself are people who were involved in the trial and people who are involved in the recantations. And those people are only there as direct quotes of themselves from the trial transcripts. I haven't made any comments or edits or changes. It's just what happened in the courtroom. So I think it's important for people to know what happened in the court of public opinion and what happened in the court of law.
Well, let's pick up on that, because the Georgia DA involved in the case, Spencer Lawton, he wrote a column in a Savannah newspaper saying that there were two Troy Davises, one based on the facts, the other a much more sympathetic character created by media and supporters. So you have the court of law and the court of public opinion. How did you get through that?
Well, I think that Spencer Lawton made a really smart point that there was a court of public opinion and there was a court of law. And the people who won in the court of law lost in the court of public opinion. And the people who won in the court of public opinion lost in the court of law. So both sides won a battle, but both sides lost the war. So that's a very interesting thing to try and untangle that from a human perspective.
We have heard from a number of people since we announced that the radio play and the podcast were coming out. Seems pretty interesting that there's an assumption that the play would be sympathetic to one side or the other.
Yeah, I've struggled with that for 4 years now. Everyone who comes into contact with the idea of this play automatically makes an assumption based on their own personal experience of what the play is going to be. And I understand that from a human perspective. But what I would say is try and, no matter where you are in the perspective of this, just watch the play or listen to the play and see what happens in your mind as you're watching it in your mind. Mm-hmm. That's the only real way that you're going to know how you feel about it. It's interesting to me that the people who are outraged about its very existence are people who were involved in the case to begin with. I will say as a caveat that when it premiered as a stage play at Synchronicity in 2016, we had some people who were involved in the case who came to see the play, who were incredibly concerned about it. We had a Savannah police officer who came up to see it, who had been working in Savannah as a police officer at the time of the crime. We had an attorney who worked on the case who actually started yelling at the actors in the middle of the show because he was so upset by it. And we had members of the Troy Davis family who were also concerned about the play's existence. And when they came to see it, all of their concerns, or at least what they talked about out loud, stopped. Once they saw it, they started changing what they were talking about and what they were thinking about based upon what they'd seen, not based upon what they assumed they would see. So that was a great evolution to watch.
It was such a flashpoint, obviously, and still reverberating years later when people came to see the play. How about now? What are you thinking might happen given the much broader reach of radio and podcast?
Well, I'm interested to see what a radio audience thinks about this, because radio audiences, particularly GPB audiences, are really smart and really on point, and they think about things and they chew on things and they discern things and they try and figure them out. So I'm just interested to see what GPB's audience's reaction is to this piece and to what it engenders in their minds.
Had you ever worked on a radio drama before?
No, I haven't. It was so fun to work on. I loved it.
How does that new medium, how does that expand on this story?
Well, I don't know. I'm really interested to see how it expands. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Atlanta playwright Lee Noel, her radio adaptation, or rather a radio adaptation of her play, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Troy Davis Project, airs this Sunday at 10 a.m. on GPB. Lee, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now stay with us. We're going to pick up the theme to a degree. We're going to speak to some reporters who cover the death penalty about how they've seen public opinion shift over the years and some of the factors and processes of the death penalty here in Georgia. This is On Second Thought.